Worldview Radio and WVW-TV is made possible because of listeners like you. Thank you so much for your tax-deductible contribution that you can make at WVWFoundation.com. That's WVWFoundation.com or by calling 901-825-0652. That's 901-825-0652. You can also send your tax-deductible contribution via check to WVW Foundation, P.O. Box 1690, Collierville, Tennessee 38027. That's again WVW Foundation, P.O. Box 1690, Collierville, Tennessee 38027. Thank you for helping make possible Worldview Radio and WVW-TV broadcasts.
Spiritual values, moral issues, government, economy, education, work, responsibility. What we think about these depends on our worldview. Now, VCY America presents Worldview Weekend Radio with Brannon House.
Welcome. Glad you're with us. Joining me today is Cliff Kincaid as well as Alex Newman. Topic, the Maoist Chinese Communist riots on the street. We are at war. This is not only a civil war, it's an international war. The communists are, again, trying to collapse us and bring the chaos. And then we're also looking at moving over into a police state, literally, a police state with the federalization of police. And joining me to talk about that is going to be Alex Newman. You know, folks, we've been warning about the federalization of police for a long time. We've been telling you for years. I mean, you regular listeners know that for years and years and years, what have I said? They are deliberately hiring substandard candidates. Politicians across this country are deliberately hiring substandard police candidates for various reasons. Some because the politicians want to plunder. Isn't that what Frederick Bastiat wrote in his book, the classic, The Law? The politicians want to plunder for themselves or for philanthropic purposes. Either way, that's not the purpose of the law. So they say, well, I got to keep the soccer moms happy and build some AstroTurf for the little kiddies to play soccer. That's going to be $1 million. So where do we get that? Well, we don't fund the police department, so we hire substandard candidates. You get what you pay. Why? Because the politician's busy catering to the soccer moms who want their little kiddies to play on AstroTurf, $1 million AstroTurf. I know where that's going on in communities. Mm-hmm. While they're short, many, many police on the streets. I can name communities. Then you have those who do it because they are plundering for themselves. They're involved in philanthropic. Oh, we got to set up social programs. And yet, again, first purpose of government, security and protection, right? So they're not funding the police, and you end up with substandard police candidates who do stupid things. Now, there are the others who do it on purpose because they want the videos of George Floyd being choked out by his, you know, a knee on his throat. They want the racist cops. They want the videos of these cops acting unhinged. And by the way, I'd like to know how many of them are on steroids, by the way. A lot of them have some awful big arms, abnormally big arms, steroids. You know, when you're on steroids, you don't generally act like the most sane individual in the world, by the way. So are we hiring guys who are not passing the psychological test, most mentally stable people, and then you add the fact that some of them are jacked up on steroids? Now, if you think that I've been telling you for years they don't want to deliberately hire bad cops, well, that's now been validated by former chief of police David Burice the other day, who went through the Minneapolis Police Department manual. Chokeholds, firing out of moving cars, rushing through Somalis to get them onto the police department so we can be politically correct, and you end up with a Somali shooting a blonde lady. I think she was from like New Zealand or Australia or somewhere, shooting this blonde white gal. When he showed up at she thought somebody, I guess, was being raped. She calls the police. They roll up, and the Somali dude shoots her across the lap of his partner through the window. Well, I wonder how you ended up with such a substandard police officer. because, again, political correctness. Now, after we have all of these bad manuals in Minneapolis for the police, you end up with bad situations. And then what now is the city council's, oh, we got to defund the police. They created the crisis, folks. They created the crisis so they could exploit it and then offer up the solution. And this is going on over the country. And the solution is federalization of the police. And what are you going to end up with? A police state. Joining me now is Cliff Kincaid and Alex Newman. Cliff and Alex, welcome back to the broadcast.
Great to be with you.
Thanks for having me, Brandon.
Thank you to both of you. Cliff, we have a couple of new articles for, written by you on our website today. One of them is The Deep, Dark Secrets of the Rich, Famous, and Powerful. Another one, Black Lives Matter Means More Moolah and More Race Hatred. And then this one particularly, Mao's Red Guard Conservatives Jump on the Revolutionary Bandwagon. You write, anybody with a half a brain tied behind his or her back knows that the country is in a state of mass hysteria and hypnosis. Consider that a broadcaster was forced to resign for saying all lives matter. The TV show Cops has been put on hold since it might portray police in a favorable light. A Texas Ranger statue was moved from the Dallas airport, and Clemson coach Dabo Swinney was personally attacked for wearing a Football Matters shirt. It appears those of us who have studied communism that we are living through a version of Mao's cultural revolution. His Red Guards, you write, his Red Guards, well, they've basically invaded the country, I think is what you're about to make here, the premise you're making. And his Red Guards would invade private homes looking for those suspected of bourgeoisie tendencies. By the way, I saw on a website last night that some of the anarchists are looking to see who's flying American flags, and they might go into those suburbs and burn down those houses. You write, this has come about because many people had a knee-jerk reaction when they saw the snippet of a video with a Minneapolis peace officer with his knee on the neck of George Floyd. There are zero legitimate law enforcement justifications for what happened to George Floyd. Said conservative Senator Ted Cruz, a Harvard-trained lawyer. That's the reaction the mob was counting on. People are reacting with outrage and disgust, but they didn't have the whole story. They were not aware of another video showing Floyd scuffling with police, and they were not aware of the autopsy showing Floyd's heavy drug use and the facts about his criminal record, end quote. Well, again, Cliff Kincaid and Alex Newman join me. Cliff, tell me of why you titled this Mao's Red Guard Conservatives Jump on the Revolutionary Bandwagon. Why did you title it that?
That particular column, Brannon, was designed to single out Rush Limbaugh and Ted Cruz for jumping to conclusions. They are just two of many on, quote, our side. Limbaugh, you may remember, before he had to go in for more chemotherapy because of his health problems, actually brought on his show this character, Charlemagne the God, some black radio host, because Limbaugh wanted to appear compassionate and wanted to reach out to the radicals. Well, this is just insanity. But it's almost as crazy as what our dear leader, President Trump, is doing. He holds up a Bible in front of a burned-out church. I love the Bible. I read the Bible. I go to church. We don't need the Bible now. We need brute force. We need the president to deploy the military to put down this communist, Maoist, insurrection. You know, Trump himself said, well, I might have to invoke the Insurrection Act. And then his own defense secretary, Esper, said, no, we're not going to do that. Well, that's gross insubordination. That's like something out of the old movie 7 Days in May, when the rogue general tried to take down the president, and yet Esper's still in his job. Explain that.
Yeah. Well, and I would say we need the Bible because Romans 13 tells us the purpose of government is reward the righteous and punish the wicked. And I think the Bible and the Constitution back each other up as one comes from the other. I think we know which one comes from where. And so I think he could have held up both those documents.
All of us, myself included, you, Alex, everybody, we have to be careful with the facts here. You've just alluded to, I guess you're speculating that maybe some of these cops are on steroids. I don't know if that's true or not, but Let me tell you one thing that is true that's in that article you started reading, which is that George Floyd was on heroin, he was on meth, he was on fentanyl, he was on marijuana all at the time. And I tell you, if you're a cop dealing with somebody like that, who, and he also had many health problems. I say don't jump to the conclusion that the cop killed him. This is a guy, we don't know the whole story, but I quoted one expert, Larry C. Johnson, as saying that when the truth is finally known in this case, he believes the cops are going to get off.
Wow. Well, I just don't think people should be putting their knee into people's necks and throats when there's four of them and one of this guy, regardless of what may or may not be in his system. I just think it's, and then to keep doing that when the cameras are rolling and everybody's, you know, you're being filmed. But here's what's come out today, according to one guy, Cliff. I don't know if you know this or not, that supposedly that police officer and George Floyd bumped heads at the nightclub they were working at in Minneapolis. They knew each other. We knew they were working supposedly at the same nightclub. Now it comes out someone's on camera saying, yeah, they actually knew each other. They bumped heads with each other. So was there a personal vendetta here?
Well, maybe, maybe not. That's all speculation and innuendo. We don't know the facts yet. You know, I remember back to the Michael Brown case in Ferguson when we had some riots, minor by comparison there, and it was all about hands up, don't shoot. The poor cop was supposed to have shot him with no reason. Then we find out, and this was validated by Barack Obama's own Justice Department under Eric Holder, that the cop shooting was justified because Michael Brown, who was high on marijuana, by the way, had lunged for his gun. So what I'm telling you, Brandon, and I'm telling your audience, is don't come to any conclusions, because that's what's got us into the mess we're in now. That's the mass hysteria. That's the Maoist cultural revolution. In Minneapolis alone, $500 million worth of damage. We've got cops being shot and killed around the country, and President Trump is tweeting out to his supporters to support his reelection when he doesn't seem to know what's going on. Why is Christopher Wray of the FBI not fired by now?
Exactly.
I mean, my gosh, who picked this guy? Well, it was Trump. Who picked Jeff Sessions at the Justice Department? It was Trump. Who picked Rod Rosenstein at the Justice Department? It was Trump. The buck stops with him, and the country's burning down. What in the heck is the GOP and the Senate doing? You got this buffoon, Mitt Romney of Utah, actually out there marching with the Black Lives Matter group. Why is he still a member of the Senate Republican Caucus? As you know, and I'm sure you've talked about it on your show, Brandon, Black Lives Matter was formed in part to honor Asada Shakur, also known as Joanne Chesimard, who was a cop killer. She killed a policeman in New Jersey. She got sprung out of prison with the help of the Weather Underground, and she's living in communist Cuba today. This is what Black Lives Matter has done. This is what it's all about. And Mitt Romney's marching with them?
It was founded by three communists, including one is an open, quote, queer.
Oh, yeah, they're big into the queer LGBTQ. They're all for that, as if that's going to help the black community. I mean, this is a group. Where are the Trump tweets denouncing Black Lives Matter? Where are the Trump tweets calling on the Senate GOP led by Mitch McConnell to kick Romney out of there? This guy is a total embarrassment. I'm sure the people of Utah finally realize that. He's the guy we all know in 2012 who ran for president on the Republican ticket, lost to Barack Obama, of course. So did McCain. And these guys seem to be calling the shots in the Republican Senate. Where's Mitch McConnell? He's toothless as well.
We'll be right back.
Due to the coronavirus, the Ozarks Worldview Weekend in May of 2020 had to be canceled, but it's back on track, my friends, for October 2020. And the theme has been changed to The Power Elite. The Power Elite. We'll look at the people, the plan, the polarization, the prophecies, and the planetary propaganda for world domination. And joining us to discuss these topics include such speakers as Chris Pinto, Carl Tykrib, Olivier Melnick, Alex Newman, Thomas Littleton, Usama Dakdok, Sharam Hadian, and Dr. Andy Woods. Don't delay. We are filling fast. People are eager to get out and be among like-minded Christians. And the Tantara Resort at Lake of the Ozarks is fully open. Perhaps you've seen the national news. Lake of the Ozarks was one of the first places to open where they weren't doing social distancing. So we know the conference is going to go forward. We have talked to the resort. and we are going forward with our conference, the 17th annual Ozarks Worldview Weekend, Friday night, October 16th, Saturday, October 17th, and half day, October 18th. You can also join us for the Worldview Weekend Foundation Banquet on the Thursday night. It's a beautiful white linen tablecloth dinner and banquet, and I'll be singing numbers from my CD, Sermons Through Song, Volume 1 and 2, and I might even sing a few numbers off my new album due out in October of 2020. Now, the Thursday night banquet is optional, but we'd love to have you for this full concert and banquet. All the details for the 17th annual Ozarks Worldview Weekend are online at wvwtv.com/Ozarks. You can register there, check out the speakers, the topics, and all the information related to the resort. It's all located right there at beautiful Tantare Resort on Lake of the Ozarks. We have an indoor water park. We have a bowling alley, multiple restaurants. It's great for the whole family. Maybe bring a babysitter and let the kids come with you or the grandkids come with you and take in the conference while they're being taken care of by your family member or babysitter, because the resort has everything for those kids. Like I said, putt-putt golf, horses, indoor water park, bowling alley. It's a wonderful place for the family. In fact, it's a family vacation with a purpose. The 17th annual Ozarks Worldview Weekend, October 16, 17, and 18. Full details and to register at wvwtv.com/Ozarks. wvwtv.com/Ozarks. Register now by August 1st and receive priority upfront seating. Again, register by August 1st, 2020 and receive priority upfront seating. wvwtv.com/Ozarks.
Welcome back. Glad you're with us. Alex Newman is on the line listening to this as well. We'll get his comments in a minute, as well as the push for federalizing the police, as we've been warning you for several years, which means we'll be living in a police state. And it's all tied back to the United Nations. So at the end of the day, folks, your local police will be answering back to international standards tied all the way to the United Nations. UN police on the streets. You'll think they're Americans. Well, they are, but they're answering back to the UN. You think that's conspiracy? Well, we'll let Alex Newman prove the case today. A couple more minutes here with Cliff Kincaid. Black Lives Matter, or Amazon says, stands in solidarity with the black community, with the black community. And then it goes on to mention all the money that they've donated, Amazon, including to the ACLU and to Black Lives Matter. Black Lives Matter is founded by three communists. And the ACLU, of course, was founded by a communist by the name of Roger Baldwin, who said that we would wrap ourselves in the flag and quote the founding fathers and tell everybody we were the ones to get the job done while they promoted their communism. I got a screenshot the other night. I don't play Call of Duty. I've never played Call of Duty. I wouldn't even know how to play Call of Duty. And those of you who don't know what it is, it's a video game. I think it's a video game where you go around as a military guy shooting stuff up. But I've never played it. But I did get a screenshot the other night where when you went on to Call to Duty, there was a statement about Black Lives Matter. So all these companies in America now, so many of them are rolling out their little banners supporting Black Lives Matter, a communist organization. Have you seen the latest from Rasmussen? Well, the latest Rasmussen poll shows that popularity of Black Lives Matter jumps to 62%. So a communist front group, Black Lives Matter, now has an approval rating of 62%. A new Rasmussen Report's national telephone and online survey finds that 62% of likely U.S. voters now have a favorable opinion of Black Lives Matter, with 32% who share a favorable one. Cliff?
That's all true, and it's because many in the media don't want to look at the communist roots of these groups. In some of my recent columns, I've traced many of their activities back to Mao Zedong's China. He himself was personally involved in what he called the Afro-American struggle against imperialism. I have facts and figures in my columns about how he met with various black leaders like W.E.B. Du Bois, who joined the Communist Party. He met with the Black Panthers. This is Mao Zedong personally. They've been interfering in our country, trying to ignite a race war for decades. Where's Trump on any of this? Where's our FBI? Why hasn't the FBI been following these groups? And why are they so surprised by what's happening? You and I know, Brandon, that our good friend Trevor Loudon, who does TrevorLoudon.com and KeyWiki, a great encyclopedia on the left, knows more about these groups than the FBI. In fact, I said in one of my columns, if an FBI agent today was even able to access Trevor Loudon's website or mine, USASurvival.org, they'd probably be fired. This is why we have to, when we're faced with an absence of leadership at the national level and the local and state level, I have to put it this way. I believe in the Bible. We've got to pray. We need divine intervention, but we've got to get armed ourselves. We have to protect our families. And there's going to be, mark my words, maybe Trump's counting on this, there's going to be a big backlash to this. It's already developing a white backlash, let me put it that way, a backlash in favor of the police. And, yeah, maybe some of these police are bad guys. We'll have to find out what happened in Indianapolis. But that particular officer had been on the force for over 20 years. And let me just repeat the fact that under the police guidelines from Minneapolis, that particular chokehold using the knee was allowed. Now, if they want to change the rules, let them. But don't prosecute this guy for following the law and the rules and the fact that he was faced with a guy on probably four different drugs who was clearly a menace, who has a horrible criminal record, including 5 years for assault. I mean, let's be honest about what these inner cities are all about.
What are they all about?
Well, we've got criminals on the loose, and the police have a terrible job. They've got one hand behind their backs, and just like Rush Limbaugh says, maybe half their brain tied behind their back. And I think Rush Limbaugh was in that position when he had this guy Charlemagne the God. This is the black radio host who got Joe Biden to say, you ain't black if you don't support Biden. Well, why would a guy like that, Charlemagne the God, that's his name, that's his on-air, why would he be invited on a, quote, conservative radio show? I'm sure you wouldn't have a
character
like that. I mean, this is ridiculous. We've got to tell the truth, not play into the hands of those burning down the country.
Well, and now finally, Oprah is going to hold a special couple nights on what to do about all this. And you know it's going to involve reparations and all kinds of other things.
Well, Robert Johnson, the founder of Black Entertainment Television, has already called for $14 trillion of reparations for blacks. This is a guy who's a billionaire. Why doesn't he put his money into the inner city of Minneapolis? Why doesn't Oprah, who's worth $2.5 billion, put her money into Minneapolis? Instead, she's got a $90 million estate out in California, one of seven homes that she has. We've got these black billionaires out there who should owe a lot to capitalism and the American system, now saying, well, we've got to rip off the white people to pay off the blacks, and maybe they won't riot anymore.
Yeah, it's a shakedown. And then finally, we're now reading in the news that the Antifa crowd is taking over Seattle.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's typical, and the backlash is going to begin, though. You mark my words, over the next few weeks, people are going to be fleeing. We already see the evidence of the businesses leaving Minneapolis. Look at Baltimore. I mean, you can go Seattle. All these cities are going to be burned to the ground unless we get the troops inside the cities, not just the National Guard, but the troops, as Senator Tom Cotton called for. And I agree with him. That's the op-ed he wrote, you remember, who got him into trouble with the New York Times and forced the op-ed editor to resign because he dared allow a different opinion.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Cliff, for being with us. I appreciate it. Give your website again.
USASurvival.org. Sign up, free newsletters, and take a look.
Thank you, Cliff. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, we joined here in just a second by Alex Newman. And let me just, I know Cliff maybe hasn't done any research on this, but there is a problem with police and steroids. There is a problem with police and drugs, because we have seen many cities openly lower their standards for cops to be hired who have drug convictions. But as far as police and steroids, Daily News reports steroid use among police officers is a widely known problem. Nearly 30 NYPD cops once came up on a list of names of people who purchased steroids locally. Officers have openly admitted they take steroids to, quote, get an edge, end quote, on criminals. Commander Kim Humphrey of the Phoenix Police Department had, and a team of doctors published an important position piece on the problems of steroids in law enforcement. One New Jersey doctor supplied steroids to hundreds of law enforcement officials. And I could keep going with one report after another after another. So I don't think Cliff had studied this issue. And the point I'm making is this. I want to defend police officers when they deserve being defended, but I'm not going to just defend police officers for the sake of defending police officers. You guys know that. I personally maybe disagree with Cliff in that I don't think you should ever be putting a knee in a guy's throat or neck, period, particularly if he's cuffed and on the ground and there's four of you and one of him. I personally think that there was more on, going on to this. I do agree with Cliff that we got to wait for all the information to come out. I do believe that if this is true, that these guys really did know each other. But even if they didn't, and even if he was on drugs, at some point they've got him cuffed and on his stomach. And one of the officers, I think, even said, hey, can we roll him on his side? So, again, I maybe disagree with Cliff a little bit in regards to, regardless of what George Floyd's background and criminal history would be, we cannot have police officers putting their knee in people's throats. I don't care if the manual says that they can do that. The chokeholds and all that is in the manual originally. Common sense has to prevail. And you I don't think the manual says you can chokehold someone till they die or put your knee in their neck till they die. So I think, again, we've got to have balance. I know the desire to defend the police and law and order and not have manipulation and emotionalism of the Marxist, have the American people turn against all their police. But I also understand the fact that part of the problem today is that we have people like in Minneapolis, where you have a lot of Islamists and Marxists in Minneapolis, that, as David Baris has pointed out, that is not an internationally certified police department. They have this stuff in their manuals, including being able to shoot from a moving car. When you have these kind of manuals with this kind of leadership and training or lack thereof, then you're going to have problems. And again, I contend that some of this is on purpose. So they can then exploit the situation and then offer up the solution, which is federalize the police. So Cliff and I agree in some areas. I think we disagree in other areas, but that's what this program's all about, the exchange of ideas. With that, let's go to Alex Newman. Alex, welcome to the program. Any comment on the conversation I had with Cliff?
Well, thank you very much for having me, Brandon. It's great to be with you. And, you know, I tend to agree with Cliff. In fact, I republish a lot of his articles on my own website. You know, I think the best thing to do with this issue with the police officer in Minneapolis is we just need to wait for all the facts. And I think that applies on both sides. You know, we saw during the Rodney King incident, for example, they only showed the last little bit of the clip there where the police officers were beating the guy with batons. What they didn't show was that this guy had been, you know, lunging at the police and had been trying to attack them, and they tried to grab him and they couldn't hold him. And so once the rest of the video came out, once it was shown to the jury said, well, what do you mean? Of course the cops are not guilty. I mean, you know, this guy was out of control. So, you know, we don't know what preceded, the chokehold. And I agree with you. You know, I think that policy allowing a knee on a neck is not a wise policy. But, you know, I understand Cliff's point as well. You know, this guy, according to the autopsy, had multiple drugs in his system. He has a long criminal record, including sticking a gun in a pregnant woman's stomach so he could rob her house. You know, the situation is much more complicated than the media is making it seem. And frankly, I don't think the deep state media, the establishment media, cares at all about George Floyd. They don't care at all about alleged racism. As always with communists and with the deep state behind the communists, the issue is never the issue.
No,
the issue
right. Is
always the revolution. So they've got us all bickering about, you know, were the police right or is George Floyd a hero? And none of these things are the issue. The issue is these people, these criminals, and I'm not talking about just the communist useful idiots out in the street burning down our cities. I'm talking about the forces behind the scenes that are funding this and directing this, people like George Soros, Rockefeller Foundation, the Ford Foundation, all these people that are funding Black Lives Matter, their goal is not to stop racism. Their goal is not to stop police brutality. Their goal is to break down the United States, to end our system of local policing, to have us as Americans at each other's throats arguing about things that are really not even the issue, again, so that they can do an orchestrated takedown of our nation. And we've seen this in nation after nation, right? Create and inflame false divisions, find issues or exploit issues or invent issues to get people arguing with each other, to get the people divided. That's what we're seeing right now. And if we're not careful, if these people are allowed to succeed, we will end up in the same boat as the Cubans, as the Venezuelans, as the Chinese, as the Russians, as the Vietnamese, as so many other nations and peoples before us in the vice grip of absolute tyranny. And so, you know, I think now is the time for Americans to unite, Americans of all colors and all skin tones and all backgrounds and all of this. We need to unite on the principles that our nation is founded on, that all men are created equal, that all men are endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights, such as life, liberty, property, and all the rest of it.
Of course, and I agree with all that, but you and I know that the problem is our schools have brainwashed these kids. They don't know anything about the Constitution, most of them. They don't believe in God, most of them. They believe in spontaneous creation, you know, evolution. They're, you know, they don't believe that all men are created equal because they don't believe men were created. They evolved. There is no God. Hence, there is no absolute standard of right and wrong. There's only the power of tooth and claw. So we're coming at a position where we can't even find a consensus on basic things because of the fact that we have generation after generation that has, well, had God removed, absolute truth removed. They don't know our founding documents. So at this point, you can't even find consensus. We'll be back with more. Don't go away.
In 2020, the American public became aware of just how dangerous America's just-in-time inventory can be. Hello, I'm Brandon House. And did you think you'd see the day where meat became hard to find in America's grocery stores? Or just basic foods like chicken noodle soup? Well, that's what happened in 2020, and many of you are very aware of that firsthand. And this is why I believe American families need to have their own emergency food supply. In 2020, Mountain House, who we order our freeze-dried food from, had a six-month inventory, and it was gone in 3 days. It has taken us a few months to catch up and be able to order the amount of freeze-dried food we need to fill all our back orders. We are now almost completely caught up, and we will now begin taking new orders. If you would like to build your own emergency freeze-dried food supply, you can simply go to wvwtv.com/store and look under preparedness and health. That's wvwtv.com/store. Now we're seeing social unrest in America. Do you realize the many things that face America today, from the threat of pandemics to the shenanigans of the globalist and the Marxist, the just-in-time inventory that we've talked about before? How about the fact that China now owns some of our meat processing plants in America? Think about that. Communist Red China owning some of the meat processing plants in America. You think our food supply might be at risk? How about the fact that these people that are burning and looting in major American cities, well, they could very easily go after just a few major transformers in some of these cities and put down the power. And that's if we don't see that occur through cyber hacking or an EMP. There are many reasons that you need to have, I believe, your own emergency food supply. And I hope that the coronavirus and the just-in-time inventory and all that went on with that revealed to you what we've been trying to tell you. We have a vulnerable food supply system. So now's the time, I believe, to take advantage of the fact that Mountain House is caught up, we're caught up, and now we're taking fresh orders. Now, I will tell you, it still could take 6 to 8 weeks for delivery due to the volume we now anticipate coming in since we stopped advertising and are now back to promoting it again. So I would urge you to place your order right now. Here's something else. We are seeing an increase in the price of food. We're seeing an increase in the price of freeze-dried food. So if you wait another year and try to order it during a crisis, you're likely not going to get it. If you wait another year, you're likely going to pay more due to inflation. So for many reasons, it's time to stop delaying. It's time to build your own emergency supply of food. WVWTV.com/stores where you can order. You're not only doing the right thing for your family, well, you're also helping support our broadcast network because the resources that we offer to you help to fund and build many things that keep this broadcast network going. So thank you for providing for your own family while also helping provide for us the capital we need to keep offering the programming you've come to expect at WVW Broadcast Network. So please, go right now and place your order for your own emergency supply food at wvwtv.com/store. That's wvwtv.com/store.
Yeah, I think the conversation Cliff and I just had is very, very important and very instructive on a couple levels. But one of them is you could see that Cliff and I were not in total agreement on everything, all right? Now, I'll admit, I could not be a police officer, all right? I would have a really hard time being a police officer because I know a lot of folks think, oh, he's so black and white and he's so tough and he's so rigid. But, folks, at the end of the day, my wife and family will tell you, you know, he has his convictions and his beliefs. But when it comes to how he feels about other people, he just is not prone to being using force or putting my hands on people. That's just not in my DNA. Now, if they came after me or my family in self-defense, yes. But I would just have a hard time being a police officer. If we have a stray dog that comes around or a cat, look out, it's going to end up being part of the family. I just, again, probably have a little bit softer side than most of you probably know. And so that's one reason why I do respect the tough job that police have, because I just would have a hard time doing that. Pulling people over, giving them a speeding ticket, I would be prone to saying, oh, you know, I understand. Or I would have a hard time writing a speeding ticket to some of these people if they were nice. Now, if they were not, I would write them. But I would have a hard time giving a speeding ticket to some of these people because I would start, you know, hearing their story and listening to their excuse and saying, all right, go on, have a nice day. So it's I don't have the DNA to be a cop, all right? I really don't. But I also, since I was a small kid, have had the DNA of being for the underdog. Or maybe another way to put it is, since I was quite young, I have always looked to the fact that when there are people who are being victimized or bullied, it just has never set well with me. And I know Cliff's position, and I know what the manual says. But I personally have a very, very difficult time thinking of myself ever putting a knee in someone's throat for 8 minutes while they're cuffed with three other people they're helping. I just can't see myself physically doing that. I'm going to admit my bias. My bias is that I'm looking at all this through my own DNA, my own personality, my own things that make me uncomfortable or that I personally could not go do. And that's one reason why I do what I do and those guys do what they do. But that being said, the fact that Cliff and I, who agree on so many issues, come at this position differently shows you why this is the perfect issue to divide Americans. Because even guys like Cliff and I don't fully agree on how this all went down and our response. And so this is the perfect issue because even conservatives can't fully agree on what they saw and what should and should not be done. And again, I want to support police when they're legal, constitutional police doing their job. But I have no tolerance for bully cops or people hyped up on their power and being bullies. I have no tolerance for it whatsoever. That's just my DNA and makeup. I've always been that way. But this, again, I think shows why this issue is really successful for the Marxist, the Islamist. Because even conservatives are looking at it a little differently than each other when we normally are in lockstep. What say you, Alex Newman?
Yeah, and I think, you know, honestly, this is an important discussion for us to have as Americans about the role of police and whether we need reforms. And frankly, I've had concerns about the way policing is done in this country for a long time. You know, I think there's too many laws on the books. I think there's the enforcement levels are too vigorous. There's too much violence. You know, too many Americans are killed in encounters with police. But then, you know, there's another side to that, too. You look, for example, at Sweden. You know, Sweden, where I spent most of the last decade living, they're having these riots and this looting and this Black Lives Matter nonsense running around there. And, you know, the police, they jump in their cars and they run away like little cowards while the whole city gets destroyed and things get looted and old ladies get beaten up and get their purses robbed. And that's unacceptable. So, you know, I think we need to find a balance. But really, in America, this should be a discussion for local communities to be having. And, you know, there's a big difference between, you know, inner city Chicago or the south side of Chicago and, you know, a suburb in South Florida, right? They're entirely different communities. And so these are discussions that should be had at the local level. In America, law enforcement is primarily a responsibility of state and local government and of the individual citizens. And so, you know, we need to get rid of some of these laws. We need to have these discussions at our city councils, at our county commissions. You know, we have elected sheriffs in this country. But I think a big part of the agenda here is to move us away from the idea of local policing. They really want to discredit our local police, and I think that's very obvious amid this whole issue in Minneapolis. They want to make Americans to lose confidence in their local police on both fronts, right? They're telling the liberals, oh, your police are all a bunch of racist yahoos, and they're just running around killing poor innocent black people, which is a big lie. It's an absolute lie.
Exactly.
A police officer is 18 times more likely to be murdered by a black man than an unarmed black man is to be killed by the cops. So, you know, just right off the bat, the lie that they're selling the liberals is a big, fat lie, and we need to be clear about that. But then what they're doing on the conservative side is they're saying, look, your local police can't protect your cities. See, they're all on fire. Your businesses are being looted. You know, this is what you want. You need stronger measures. You need a national police force. So on both sides here, I think we're being played. And it's important that we resist the temptation to fall for the media narratives, regardless of where we are on the political spectrum. And, you know, I think that's one of the things we want to hit on today is the move toward a national police force and even an international police force, which really started coming to the fore during the Obama administration. That is something that we should all agree should be completely out of the question.
Well, let's talk about that, because you have an article entitled, this is back in 2016, UN demands bigger, stronger UN police force. And if you federalize the police and you do it to international standards, pretty soon you've got our local police officers federalized answering back to the UN. True or false?
That's exactly where this is all going. And, you know, they've kind of cooled the rhetoric a little bit during Trump. They knew Obama was their ally. But let me just read you some quotes here from leaders of the United Nations. So Ban Ki-moon, who was the Secretary General of the UN during the Ferguson fiasco with Michael Brown, he said that local police need to adhere to what he called international standards. And he didn't elaborate. We were thinking, okay, well, let's think about the UN, you know, the Security Council. You have communist China, right? We can think of Tiananmen Square. Oh, that's some good international standards. Think about Russia, right? This is not what we want. And then in 2016, they held a conference in New York called the UN COPS Conference. It was the UN Chiefs of Police Summit, where they brought in over 100 national police chiefs. And luckily, we don't have a national police force in America. You know, the FBI enforces a handful of federal laws, but almost all policing is at the state and local level in America. But they brought in all these police chiefs from all over the world. And here's some quotes from the leaders of the UN. Ban Ki-moon, who, by the way, has been calling the UN the Parliament of Humanity, right, where Kim Jong-un of North Korea gets the same vote as the United States. He says, this important forum provides a unique opportunity to promote the links between UN policing and national police services and to learn from different policing approaches. He said this UN COPS program could show how UN peace operations and national policing actually complement and mutually reinforce each other. They had the UN Deputy Secretary General, Jan Eliasson, a Scandinavian. He says, UN COPS is a tremendous opportunity. For the first time, countries which host and contribute to UN police, key partners, and the UN leadership are joining forces to discuss the complementarity, which I'm not even sure that's a word, but as we said, between national and international policing. He says these strongly linked to all these efforts is the transformative 2030 agenda for sustainable development. He says UN police is central to this equation, to this structure. It has become a central pillar of United Nations peace operations as indicated in the external review of the function, structure, and capacity of the UN police function. In striving for effective multilateralism, UN COPS is a springboard to make sure that United Nations police becomes ever more fit for the purpose. And I have one more, Brandon. He says, same guy, Deputy Secretary General, second in command of the UN. Says UN police are our police, serving we the peoples of the UN. He says, we commend your commitment to work with the UN to advance peace and security as one international community and one global neighborhood. This is what they're saying in the open, like on international platforms. Now, they don't report this in the New York Times or in the Washington Compost because they don't want the American people alarmed. But this is where this is all moving. They're using anything they can, especially this thing in Minneapolis right now, to advance this agenda. The communist head of the UN human rights apparatus, Michelle Bachelet, who actually defected to the mass murdering communist regime that was enslaving East Germany, she's jumped on this, and she said that the incident in Minneapolis proved that America is systemically racist, that it needs to undergo fundamental transformation, not just of its policing, but also to address socioeconomic inequalities. Basically, the solution to Minneapolis is we need communism for America, and this is the communist strategy they always use. Pressure from below, you get the rioters, the looters, the vandals, the terrorists, then you come in with the pressure from above, with the communist agents in the UN and in Congress. proposing totalitarian solutions. And that's what we're facing, Brandon.
Absolutely. How many years, folks, have we talked about that? Full shows, nonstop, last week, pressure from above, pressure from below, pressure from above, pressure from below. This is how they do it. And they have to create a, well, as McGregor Burns said in 84 in this book, The Power to Lead, the founding fathers have been too shrewd, too smart for us. They're only under a stupendous economic and social and political crisis where the people go where we want them to go. And now you can see where they would go, which is, okay, fine, it's time to federalize the police. And then after that's been done, the American people wake up and realize by agreeing to that, they just agreed to have their police put under the UN. And they're going to go, but wait a minute, we didn't agree to that. Well, that's what happens when you get away from your constitutional local policing and local and state government and give it to the federal government. Then you wake up and think, oh, I thought this was federal police. Turns out now they're answering to the UN. True?
That's exactly where they're going with all this. And, you know, what was really remarkable about the Obama administration is how this all came out in the open. I think they really thought they were hammering the final nails into the coffin of America. And then Trump came along and kind of disrupted the whole apple cart. But, I mean, they were just openly telling – you had Al Sharpton saying, no, we need the police to answer to the U.S. Justice Department. We need a national police force. We got a hacked document from the Open Society Foundation, George Soros's big organization, where they actually talk about we need to dismantle the system of local policing that, according to the Soros machine, perpetuates social injustice and so on. So they were very, very open about their agenda to strip us of our local police. And, you know, people need to really think about this. And I'm talking to the liberals, to the people who are so concerned about alleged police brutality and alleged racism. If you think it's hard to keep your local police department in line right now, how do you think it's going to work when you have to call Washington, D.C. and talk to some bureaucrat who doesn't care one lick about you? How do you think it's going to work when you have to call the United Nations? You know, you think it's hard to deal with your city council and your mayor or your local sheriff who you can elect at the next election. What do you think it's going to be like when you have the politicians in Washington, the bureaucrats in Washington, or worse, the mass-murdering dictators that make up the United Nations? How do you think it's going to work when you have to have them do the reforms that you want? It's going to be impossible. And they'll start out nice. You know, they'll say, oh, these are just – and, you know, the Democrats have already introduced in Congress now a system of national standards for police. They want to create a national certification program where you have to get federal approval to become a cop. They'll start off with nice, benign regulations, and over time we'll move and move and move to the point where they will create – and, you know, people need to recognize this. Every tyranny of the last 100 years – I don't care if it's a national socialist tyranny in Germany, right? The Nazis had the SS, the communists in the Soviet Union. They had first the NKVD, then they went on to the KGB. The East German dictatorship had the Stasi. Every single mass murdering dictatorship of the last 100 years had a national police force.
Yep.
In America, it's very difficult to impose tyranny on us because if they told my local sheriff to come confiscate our guns, my local sheriff would say, hey, we need a posse. Everybody quick, get your guns. We're going to go resist this insane idea. And sheriffs all across the country would do that. So they need to get rid of our local police. They need to centralize the power, and we must resist it.
And the Republicans are playing into their hand by putting these commissions together, trying to think they can somehow find some common ground with these people, which by doing that, you're actually playing into their hand by claiming they have some legitimacy to the idea of more federal control over police.
That's right.
1-800-347-9829, 1-800-347-9829. Your thoughts, your comments, your questions, 1-800-347-9829.
I want to send you a free copy of Sabotage and Marxianity. Hello, I'm Brandon House. I want to send you a copy of Sabotage, my documentary that came out in November of 2018. It's 6 hours long, three DVDs, and it's subtitled How the Islamists, Marxists, and Their Useful Idiots Are Destroying America from Within. And then I want to send you a copy free of charge of my over 300-page book, Marxianity. It's subtitled How the Evangelical Deep State and Their Useful Idiots Are Merging Marxism and Christianity Through Social Justice, White Privilege, Cultural Marxism, Illegal Immigration, Interfaith Dialogue, and more. To get these two items free shipped to you right now today, simply go to wvwtv.com/subscription. That's wvwtv.com/subscription, and join the Situation Room
for 1 year or 2 year or 3 year. Do any of those years, 1 year, 2 year, or 3 year membership, and I'm going to send you Sabotage, the 6-hour documentary on 3 DVDs and my book, Marxianity, free of charge. Please go join SituationRoom.net, have access to over 1,000 TV shows, not to mention the thousands of radio shows, all of my books as ebook. You'll find all of our conference DVDs and so much more, about $200,000 in materials on demand at the normal retail price. And when you join at the 1 year, 2 year, or 3 year rate right now, I'll send you Sabotage and Marxianity through the mail absolutely free. So please join right now and support WVW Broadcast Network and our expansion and growth. Look, you need to be a member, and we need to raise some capital to pay for amazing growth that we're experiencing and the new equipment and expansion of our website and app and Roku channel. So you join the Situation Room. It's a good deal for you. I'll send you Sabotage and Marxianity, and you're supporting our network. So go right now, if you would, to WVWTV.com/subscription. WVWTV.com/subscription and join at the 1 year, 2 year, or 3 year rate. And I'm going to put Sabotage and Marxianity in the mail on its way to you today.
All right, 1-800-347-9829. Your thoughts, your comments, your questions. Again, this is very, very dangerous, folks. I don't think the American people realize the massive national security threat facing America right now with all that's going on. The international players, the mainstreaming of a Black Lives Matter founded by three communists, the 62% now having approval, a favorable opinion of Black Lives Matter, the talk of federalizing police or national standards that end up leading to that. People, I don't think they have a clue how dangerous the time is right now that we're living. We are at a crossroads. And let me just say before we go to the phone lines at 1-800-347-9829, your thoughts, your comments. I don't know what you thought about our conversation about President Trump, Alex. I'd love for you to weigh in. But he better get his act together, or he is going to lose to a guy that doesn't even know who his own wife is.
Yeah, and yeah, I think the situation with Trump is unfortunate. I think he's being tragically misled by some of the people, some of the swamp monsters in his cabinet, some of the people he's taking advice from. I think they're giving him very poor advice. And, you know, I wish he had studied the Constitution a little more. I wish he was actually speaking publicly, trying to unify the country. And, you know, frankly, I think it's better to have him there right now than, you know, if we had Hillary or even most of the other Republican candidates that
yes.
we had in the 2016 lineup. There would have been a disaster. I mean, America would be on its knees right now, the whole country, not just, you know, some of the losers that think they're going to, you know, achieve something positive by bowing down to a bunch of, you know, terrorists and demonstrators and racial extremists. But, you know, he really does. He needs to do some things different. And I think consulting the Bible and the Constitution would be a good place, right?
Yeah.
The Bible says that the government should punish evil. When you have people burning down cities and terrorizing and destroying businesses, you know, that's when the government needs to step in and put a stop to it. And also the Constitution has got some very clear responsibilities, very clear delegations of authority, and it's time for everybody, you know, down from the local mayor and the local police chief all the way on up to the President of the United States to refamiliarize themselves with that, to educate the American people about it, and to start acting seriously on it.
Well, there was a Florida sheriff that said to the looters, I'm encouraging the citizens to blow you out the door if you try breaking into their house and shops. And I personally think the President of the United States ought to come out and say, anyone trying to break into somebody's house to burn and loot their house or their business, you know, the Old Testament says if someone breaks into your house and their blood is shed, there's no guilt on your hand. Blow them out the door. And if the local liberal prosecutor wants to prosecute them, we will scoop in with the federal government all over that district attorney in that state. I mean, if these looters knew up front that the elected officials were going to back them with the constitutional God-given right to defend their own life and property, these looters would think twice about looting. Let's go to the phone lines.
That's
Justin,
right.
In line three, and I think Trump should come out and say that like the sheriff did in Florida. Justin, thank you for calling in. Go ahead, Justin.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to comment that if you recall, after Obama became president, there was a big push that he was doing to call for a national police force back then, and the people pushed back very hard on that. I just wanted to comment, and I'll take your comment off the phone.
Alex?
Yeah, thank you. And, you know, we documented that so extensively in The New American. I probably wrote 20 or 30 articles about that trend. And you're right. I think it was entirely a result of the American people's pushback that we were able to head that off. And so if you haven't read those articles, if you're not familiar with this incredibly important agenda of the power elites, go to thenewamerican.com, go to duckduckgo.com and search for it. Bring yourself up to speed on this. And then don't just sit on the information. Get that information to your city council. Call up your sheriff and set up a meeting. Get together with 5 or 10 citizens. Go meet with your sheriff. Explain to him what's going on here. Talk to your member of Congress. This is the kind of information that we need to get out to our communities, and then we need to educate our elected officials, because that is the plan. Trump is kind of an obstacle in the way of that right now. But even some of this, you know, they're talking about expanding this COPS program through the Department of Justice. This is more efforts to federalize the police. They've got this bill that the Democrats just introduced, as I mentioned, to create a national certification system. We've got to be on the ball here. If we lose our local system of policing and elected sheriffs, liberty in America will not be safe for one more moment.
Indeed. Breck, line four. Breck, thanks for calling in. Go ahead, Breck.
Yeah, Brandon, I've enjoyed your show for many years, trying to get my daughters to enjoy it. In the first clip with Cliff today, you know, like you mentioned, I have a couple reservations about some of the things he said, but, you know, he's right on. He has a lot of information. But what I would caution against is us assuming Trump has so much power. I mean, I think he needs our support. He may not be a Christian, but he stood in the way of a lot of these
renegades.
I don't think we should give up on reelecting him quite yet. Do you agree with me?
No, I don't think we should give up. I mean, what's the choice, Biden? So, no, I don't think we should give up. But I think Trump needs to get it together. And he's surrounded by too many people in the deep state. He needs to clean out. I think he needs to push Jared and Ivanka back to New York.
Right.
Jared and Ivanka need to go back to New York and get out of the way. And he needs to quit picking people from the deep state, like his current Secretary of Defense and some of these other people he picks. And he needs to start listening to the people that helped get him elected to start with. And I'm not sure that's what he's doing. I think he's – I mean, why does he not put together a kitchen cabinet and bring in the likes of Alex Newman and other people? Why doesn't he listen to his friend Michael Savage, who's flown on Air Force One with him recently, and he appointed to a commission to oversee the Presidio?
Esper, could you believe that Esper went against him and said he wouldn't support the Insurrection Act?
And he still got a job. How is that?
I can't believe it, but I think Trump – if he had come out as strong as he wanted to, I think the media could have buried him, could have had the White House bombed, or, you know, you saw the protests right after.
Yeah, I know, but at some point he's got to realize he'll never appease the media, he'll never get them on his side, he's got to do what's right. You cannot have a Secretary of Defense contradicting the Commander-in-Chief. That makes us look bad and weak. That's not acceptable. But, Breck, I love the call. I love the fact that you call in and we can have this kind of conversation back and forth. That's what talk radio is all about. Let's go to Lewis. Lewis, thanks for calling in. Go ahead, Lewis.
Hi, good afternoon. Alex Newman really is a very smart person, very intelligent. Well, one person can make a difference. I trusted the system. I'm doing something right, and I couldn't handle the violence my fiance was doing to me. I had her arrested. All these lesbians came to her aid. So that's why this whole country is hated for what happened to me back in 1989. I've been contacting everybody and anybody across the world stating how America's run by the lesbian, homosexual
agenda. Let me comment on that. So I heard a talk show host last night. Why are the LGBTQ community so into this? And I would say, Alex, the reason the LGBTQ community is so into this is because it's about deconstruction. Deconstruction of family, absolute truth. That's why I heard a secular talk show host, why is the LGBTQ community all into this? Deconstruction, Marxism, and feminism are inextricably linked. Closing comment, Alex?
Yeah, they're trying to destroy everything that God has ordained, the family, private property, the nation state. And so for more on this, go to thenewamerican.com, subscribe to the print magazine, get signed up for the daily headlines. And thanks again for having me on, Brandon. It's always such a pleasure, and God bless you and the listeners.
Thank you, Alex. Always great to have you on as well. I hope you'll stay tuned for Crosstalk, folks, on 100 outlets nationwide. Original Christian talk program since the 1970s. Our website, worldviewradio.com. Take care.
This has been Worldview Weekend Radio with Brandon House. CDs are available by calling 1-800-729-9829. Or to hear an MP3 file of this or earlier programs, go to worldviewweekend.com. Views expressed may or may not be those of Worldview Weekend, BCY America, or this station. This program is a public affairs presentation of worldviewweekend.com and is heard weekdays on BCY America.
Now is the time to boost your immune system. Hello, I'm Brandon House. I've been taking a supplement drink for over 12 years. That includes red wine extract, pine bark extract, grape seed extract, vitamin C, and bilberry extract. And in fact, a few years ago, we developed our own all-natural supplement and energy drink known as Extractgevity. Now, you don't need to take my word for it. Go do your own due diligence on what these extracts are reported to accomplish. Studies have shown that they are filled with antioxidants, and studies have shown that antioxidants are excellent at boosting your immune system. Studies have also shown that the ingredients in Extractgevity may have anti-aging effects, protect cells from free radical damage, help prevent Alzheimer's disease, prevent growth of cancer cells, benefit your heart, skin, and brain, and eye circulatory health. Again, all the details are at extractgevity.com. That's extractgevity.com. You can also order from our store at www.tv.com/store. That's www.tv.com/store. You can sign up and receive it every month through our subscription plan so you don't miss your monthly bottle, which is a 30-day dose. Or you can order one time and try it. Either way, all the details are at extractgevity.com. This, again, is an all-natural energy and supplement drink. And studies, again, have shown the benefits of these ingredients. Now is the time to boost your immune system. This product has not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, or cure, or prevent any disease. Extractgevity.com.